Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to John, and they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. There are two kinds of confessions. One kind of confession is what we call a confession of faith. We make a confession of faith when we say what we believe is true about God. Interestingly, you don't have to be a Christian in order to confess what you believe to be true about God. And you don't have to be in church to make a confession about God either. Confessions of faith are made in lots of different ways, at lots of different times, and in lots of different places, usually more than often in the course of everyday conversations, whenever and wherever they may occur. All confessions of faith have this much in common. They all, somewhere along the line, usually at the beginning, include these words, "I believe." I believe that all gods are basically the same. You should follow whatever god, whatever religion, suits you the best. I believe that God just wants us to be happy, and that he accepts us just the way that we are. I believe that God, if there really is one, is up there somewhere in the heavens, not down here, and that frankly, he's not all that interested or concerned or involved in my life down here. These are all confessions of faith, and they say what is believed about God, spoken at various times and in various places and in various ways. And they can all be very different. And I hope, anyway, that you have noticed that these confessions of faith are somewhat different than the confession of faith that we just made together here in this place. The Christian faith, the Christian confession of faith, is not based on what we think God is like or what we hope God is like, but the Christian confession of faith is based solely on what the Holy Scriptures say that God is like. We confess our faith together in carefully chosen words that have been hammered out, tested, scrutinized over a good deal of time. The Apostles, the Nicene, the Athanasian creeds have been hammered out with a great deal of scrutiny so that when we say these words together, we may be confident that they say what the Scriptures say about God. Heresy is when you say that the Holy Scriptures say something about what God is like that the Holy Scriptures really do not say. Heresy is always a deadly and a dangerous thing because it leads people to form their beliefs about God in a false and make a false confession of faith. It used to be that heretics were burned at the stake. Today, we take things much more lightly than that. Today, a heretic is usually honored for being an independent, open-minded thinker. And everyone wants to buy his book, and the heretic becomes rich. Those who insist on confessing their faith in the ancient fixed words, the creeds, are considered to be rather narrow-minded, mechanical. The worst condemnation of all is that they are boring. Maybe so. But at least we mechanical, narrow-minded, boring people can be sure that what we are confessing is true. Besides, to say the same thing about God as all of the people in the past have said about God and in the future will say about God, and all over the world are saying about God, makes us part of the one holy Christian church. And that's pretty cool. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to John, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing their faith was not what these people were going into the wilderness to do. They were not saying what they believed to be true about God. They were saying what they believed to be true about themselves. Their confession about themselves was not based on what they thought about themselves or on what others thought about them. They were saying what the scriptures say about them and about everyone without distinction. Before the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, everyone sins because everyone is a sinner. We all fall short of that person that the one true God wants us, created us, redeemed us to be. And so they were confessing their sins. They were saying out loud, if you can believe this, in the presence of other people, if you can believe that, in the presence of the one true God, I am by nature sinful and unclean, and therefore I have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. Sound familiar? The very fact that the baptismal font is where it is in our sanctuary is no mere coincidence. This morning, we came from similar distances as they did, and we confessed our sins into the waters of our baptism along with those who came from Judea and Jerusalem. Pardon the analogy. But Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan were vomiting their sins into the Jordan River. And we did the same this morning into this baptismal font. The Jordan River and the baptismal font are the waters into which we confess our sins with all of its infectious and deadly disease. Not a very pretty picture, but something that I think we should all consider, especially as we dip our fingers into this water on the way to the Lord's Supper. The question is, why did they do it? Why did Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan go out to John to be baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins? I'm sure that the common perception in their day regarding man before God, coram Deo, was about the same as it is in our own day. Times don't change that much. Men and women, the idea goes, are basically good. And as long as we try as hard as we can, and as long as we're sincere, that's all that God really expects from us. There's certainly nothing in a message like that that would drive people to the point of utter despair before Almighty God that they go out into the wilderness and they drown themselves in the Jordan River, casting themselves at the mercies of Almighty God. But the fact that this was exactly what they were doing must mean that John preached the law of God to them. The law of God shows us who we really are before God. Not what we think, not what others say, not what we're told, but who we really are according to the scriptures. The law is a true mirror. It shows us what we really look like before God according to the scriptures. And the picture is enough to drive you into the wilderness confess your sins and cast yourself upon the mercies of God. And this is a good thing. The famous philosopher Socrates is noted for saying, "Know thyself." The unexamined life is not worth living. The question is, how are we to know thyself? By what standards are we to examine ourselves? Do we look inside of ourselves? Do we listen to those who are around us? Do we examine what the media says about us? Do we examine ourselves by God's word? It is the dangerous thing to do if we are to examine ourselves according to God's word, and let it be the standard against which we examine ourselves before God. God's word says, "You shall be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." John preached the law, and he must have been a pretty darn good preacher, because people saw themselves in the mirror of God's word, and it made them so sick that they told the truth about themselves. They confessed their sins. They quit trying to improve themselves. They quit trying to justify themselves, and they went to the Jordan River to be drowned in its waters. Then came Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. How strange is that? Everything that the Bible has had to say about this Christ who is to come, this Christ who is Jesus, is that he has no sin because he is not by nature a sinner. This is the one whom we just in our confession of faith said is God of God and light of light and true God of true God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. How strange is this, that this one comes then to be baptized. He wants to be washed in the same water as all of Israel has just confessed their sins into. John objected, as you and I would certainly have done as well. We like to keep God on a pedestal, high, lifted up, removed from us, far removed from all of the disgusting dirt and grime and disease of our daily life. Or is it that we don't want God to get too close to us, because maybe then he may just see that we are by nature really here, naked and ashamed? How awkward would that be? How embarrassing would that be? But he insists, "Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And with that, John baptized him in the same water that all of Israel had just vomited their sins into, teeming with all of those detestable, terrible sins that we all agree are detestable and terrible: murder, rape, incest, theft. But the Jordan River was also contaminated with those sins that we think are perfectly harmless. No real danger, really. Innocent, if you will. Gossip, greed, prejudice, jealousy, lust, pride. And the God of God and the light of light and the very God of very God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, was washed in those waters. He walked right into it and said, "John, do what you must do." And immediately the sky was ripped open. It is as though the Father and the Holy Spirit were looking through that one-way glass, the Father watching his beloved Son every step of the way from Galilee to the Jordan River, and as he is washed in our sin, the time had fully come for him to begin the work that the Father sent him into the world to do. To take the sin of the world upon himself, to take the just penalty for our sin before God upon himself, to atone for it all in his body nailed to the cross, and all to be forgiven, and all to be forgotten. and God to be reconciled to his beloved people, and his people to stand before God without fear and at peace with God and with grateful hearts, overflowing with thankfulness, eager to confess their faith and to honor and serve God in all innocence, righteousness, and blessedness. And in that building crescendo of anticipation that the whole creation has been groaning for since the beginning, as in pangs of childbirth, from the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the curtain is torn in two. And now it is God the Father who is confessing. What is most true about this man who stands in the water? This is my son, with whom I am well pleased. The pure, holy, sinless Son of God went into the Jordan River and came out covered with our sin. He was filthy with our filth. Our sin clung to him like leeches. And with this, and with him, the Father is well pleased. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. The Father confirms his divine approval for his Son by sending his Holy Spirit to rest on him, just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him. John preached the law, and those who heard his sermons were convinced of their sin. But John also preached the gospel. He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He showed them just how sick they really were, and then he gave them the cure. And the cure is greater than the sickness. On the day of Pentecost, Peter gave the crowd a strong dose of the law. Let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the law did what the law does for all those who will hear it. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter preached the gospel. Wonderful gospel. Same gospel that John the Baptist preached. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And that day, 3,000 received the cure. Baptism is pure gospel. Nothing but the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Baptism is not what we must do in order to clean ourselves up, in order to stand before God without fear. That turns gospel into law, and that's a total waste. Baptism is not our confession of faith in God. It is God's confession of love for you. Jesus Christ, the sinless one, goes into the water, and all of our sin clings to him. And we, who by nature are sinful and unclean, emerge from that water as the holy ones of God, his dearly beloved children. Christ's righteousness is now ours just as surely as our sin is his. By his baptism, Jesus has made your baptism the life-changing event that now defines your life. Examine thyself. In these waters, you died to sin. In these same waters, you were born again to walk in newness of life. Now and only now are you equipped and qualified to confess the faith to the world. Amen.